Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Andrew Shatkin Show on every weekday evening, Monday through Friday at 6:30. And when I can squeeze it in at 11 o'clock on Saturday and Sunday. In this show, I think you will all be stimulated by and engaged by and will enter into the realms of thought and knowledge. It is not a show based on political correctness. It is politically incorrect. It is not a show based on media lies, media falsehoods, or media hype, but it's based on critical thinking and critical thought. Our concerns are getting at the facts in this show and getting at the truth as best we can or are able to. And we're not interested in newspaper stories, journal stories, popular magazines, or People magazines, or images like that. We live in a society of images, and the centrality of reading as the mode of obtaining knowledge is declining, and as it declines, we are declining into ignorance and darkness, inevitably. And without reading, we are a society without thought, essentially. Now, second thing is that I'm a Christian, and I adhere to the historical Christian faith of the Nicene Creed, the Athanasian Creed, and the Apostles' Creed, and I adhere to the full authority of Holy Scripture. As well, when I have a chance, I read the great Christian authors such as C.S. Lewis, G.K. Chesterton, T.S. Eliot, etc. These are the thought leaders. These are the people worth reading and thinking about. Without them, without these thought leaders, we are doomed as a system. We will be destroyed intellectually and in every other way. I'm also a writer. I've written 10 books. I'm planning four more. These books are legal and religious and theological, and they are sell well, actually, all over the world. And particularly the book Essays in the Christian Worldview has sold very well. It's been a bestseller. And as well, the book on the parables, which analyzes and interprets the 41 parables in the Gospels, that book I have posted on my social media and on my website and is available at academia.edu. As well, I am planning four more other books, a book on the Psalms I've just completed, which is going to be, I'm looking for a publisher, and a book, I'm formatting a book on the sayings and events of Christ in the Gospels in similar fashion, and I hope to have that published in a year or so. I also am planning a book on the miracles in the Bible. I'm working on that also. Books, for me, are treasure troves of knowledge. Without books, our society will die. Inevitably, intellectually, spiritually, and morally. Without that knowledge offered by books, we are essentially doomed. We will go down to our present situation of decline. I also run two radio shows, a podcast show, and a Blog Talk Radio show, which is heard by many people in many countries all over the world. Over 4,000 people from 77 countries have visited these podcasts, and many people from many countries, including Saudi Arabia, Malaysia, Japan, India, Bangladesh, Finland, Germany, also visit my Blog Talk Radio show. I have published over 650 blogs, and they are available on academia.edu and on my website and on social media. And I'm sure many people visit them from many countries. By the way, many people from Muslim countries and China visit my website and podcasts and blogs. Obviously, despite being agnostics or atheists or whatever they are, or Muslims, they are quite interested in Christian thought, which is a step forward for us all. People who are interested in thought, the leaders of society, those who are not are the decliners of society and bring it down, actually, in that sense. Tonight I'm going to talk about, by the way, I published three articles on criminal procedure in the Syracuse Law Review and on Academicus, an international Albanian scientific journal, two more articles in that journal, one on sex discrimination and sex orientation discrimination, another on the U.S. educational system, been bought by the State Department in both instances and by the United States Supreme Court and by many other institutions in the world, throughout the world, actually. So now I'm going to talk about something that's a very sensitized area because some people see it as hostile to other religions or religious systems, and I'm not. I respect all religious systems. I happen to be a Christian. I think it's the true faith. I think it's the answer to any questions you may have in life. But other people may embrace other faiths and are fully entitled to embrace those faiths as they see their way to God and understanding God. But for me, the Christianity is the answer. It is the answer to most of my questions. And I'm going to talk about the extremely prevalence of persecution of the church throughout the world. Christians are persecuted, and they are targeted as a persecuted religion. And in fact, for the first 400 years of Christian life, after the death and resurrection of Christ, if you believe in his resurrection, the church was persecuted. And Origen, of course, a Greek thinker and Christian, had his bones broken by the Roman emperor for his Christian faith. Many, many Christians sought martyrdom in those days and years. And many Christians today are martyrs to our faith and are dying and being tortured. Let me give you some examples, ladies and gentlemen, of what I mean, because I think you should know about this. I think we should protest it. I think we should stand against it. I don't think we should allow the innocent Christian people, their bodies to be walked over and burned like pieces of nothing. They have value, just as unborn children have value. Christians have a different perspective in that respect. So let's take a look at Myanmar. A Christian leader continues to suffer from the effects of a long-term imprisonment after being targeted by the United War State Army, which arrested 120 pastors and many other Christians. And Akun, a pastor, was restrained while imprisoned by a steel shackle. As I say, 120 pastors were arrested by this group here and imprisoned. Another pastor, Mawan, also suffers from 8 months of imprisonment. He was restrained by a heavy chain around his leg. And for this information, ladies and gentlemen, you should know about this. That group, the UWSA, launched a religious cleansing campaign throughout the region, banning churches and religious instruction and worship and public prayer. Another pastor, San, had his church building and house demolished. This is what's going on in the world, ladies and gentlemen. This is the persecution of the Christian faith that is ongoing in many, many places. The situation in Mozambique is serious, where Islamic insurgents have made life difficult for Christians and displaced 300,000 people and have burned churches, beheaded Christians, and destroyed schools and clinics. When I speak of Islamic people, I love them. I have many Muslim friends. My Muslim brothers and sisters are very precious to me, and I know that only a very small minority do these acts of violence. When I report this, I do not report it as anti-Islam, but as a factual statement. And as I say, in Mozambique, an African country, over 300,000 people, Christians, have been displaced. And this group of Islamists have burned churches, beheaded Christians, and destroyed schools and clinics. And as I say, I know for a fact that most Muslim people are law-abiding, decent, good people. This is a political force in this situation. In Iran, the situation for Christians is quite difficult. Give you an example, Ibrahim Farouzi, a Christian convert, was arrested in 2013, and has been in and out of prison until this 2019. and placed in internal exile, and has been condemned, ordered into exile for insulting the sacred and making propaganda against Islam. A very serious situation for this man. He was sentenced to 1 year in prison in 2013, 2 years in 2015, 5 years, an extended sentence of 5 years. He has been held in jail for some time and released in 2019 after a 6 month term of imprisonment, is now in internal exile. Very serious, difficult situation for this man, a Christian convert who has done nothing but try to live out his faith. These may be political forces and not religious forces brought against him, but that's it. Finally, a note on these persecution in Nepal, a Christian convert has been family has been thrown off their land and denied access to water for their Christian faith. This is what's going on in the world, ladies and gentlemen. You should know about it. You should be aware of it. That's why I'm talking about it. Let me give you some other examples of these acts of persecution. In Iraq, Mustafa and his cousin became Christians, and his cousin, for this, was badly beaten, and Mustafa had his fingers broken. They had planned to be baptized, but were afraid to do so and leave. This is one instance of what I'm talking about. In Iraq, Mustafa, his cousin was badly beaten, and he had his fingers broken for his Christian faith. Another example, Asaf, a supervisor at a garment factory in Pakistan, led 10 others in prayer as a Christian. He was a Christian convert. He led prayer in the factory. The owner told him to stop and convert to Islam. Asaf gave him a Bible. An Islamic cleric came and told him to accept Islam and tried to force him to pray in Islamic fashion. And this man lost his job because of his Christian faith. Another instance of persecution of a man who needs to support his family, needs a job, and for praying in the Christian fashion, has been persecuted unmercifully. Finally, I want to talk about abortion a little bit, which is a big Christian issue. We Christians are very concerned about unborn children, just like we're concerned about the lives of other people, of all people, elderly, dying, about to die, about to be born. We know that Jesus loves them and offers them eternal life, and their lives are very precious to him. Therefore, we are concerned with abortion, which is taking another's life. It's quite clear it's taking another's life. To say otherwise is to engage in lying. I prefer not to lie. Let's look at Pavica, a German resident. She organized 40 days a year, twice a year, to pray silently for women and their unborn children. They gathered to pray for an end of abortion. And after 3 years of doing this in front of the pre-abortion counseling center in Germantown, in a German town, the group was banned by the town for the past 2 years to do this, to have this silent prayer, despite having been denied permission. Was banned for this, despite having been previously given permission. Abortion for a Christian is a grave sin and offense. You can see why it is, because we believe in the preciousness of human life, unborn, living, dying to the last second of death. We do not discount humanity in any sense. We believe Jesus died for all and offers eternal all, life to all, elderly, born, and unborn. And we believe to take the life of an innocent, a little kid, about to be born, is particularly awful and heinous crime. And is nothing less to murder and take a human life. So what we have here is obvious, blatant, anti-Christian discrimination in terms of abortion. This woman was engaging in silent prayer in a German town, had been doing it for some years, and suddenly was banned by the municipality. And the case is proceeding in the German courts. So I ask you, ladies and gentlemen, this is clearly a slap at Christ and his life and his message and his life. It takes down humanity to the lowest level when we allow abortion and euthanasia and killing, and particularly the killing of an innocent. Let's take a look at another example of this, Pastor Max Lucado. He was an evangelical pastor who was chosen to preach in the National Cathedral in Washington, and he chose to stay and take the correct Christian position, the historical Christian position, that any other relationship other than heterosexual marriage was and is unacceptable. This is not a slap. This position is not a slap against our dear gay and lesbian brothers and sisters and LGBTQ friends, who I dearly love and cherish and respect, but it is the message of Jesus. Jesus said unequivocally that a man is to leave his father and mother and go to his wife. This is our faith. This is the 2,000 years of Christianity and has been the faith and position of the church in that sense. And so when Pastor Lucado took this position that only heterosexual marriage is the only relationship permitted in Christian belief, he is stating the Christian faith, the historical Christian faith. This isn't to say that people can have other opinions. They can. But I think he correctly stated this faith and position. And he means, and I mean, no offense against our gay and lesbian brothers and sisters in LGBTQ, who we dearly love and welcome and treasure. But the church, unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, is not the world. It is not the secular society. And there is has the right and obligation to maintain its rules and state its dogma. Obviously, the biblical revelation in this issue is quite clear that there is no other potential or allowed sexual relationship in the world for a Christian other than heterosexual marriage, whether affairs, heterosexual affairs, or homosexual marriage, or whatever, both are unacceptable. And much as the world and the secular society, they can say these are all right, they are legally allowed, and there is no problem I have with the secular and world society embracing these views, but within the church I have to draw the line, and the church is not the world and the secular society and has the right and obligation to maintain this position. The gay community is welcome to the church, but the nature of the biblical revelation is unchanging in this respect. Also, I urge you, ladies and gentlemen, not to be fooled by modernity and fads and fashions and by what's current. What is new may not be valid. And in fact, the gay community is welcome to the church, but the church has the right to maintain the biblical revelation, which is unchanging in this respect and is not subject to alteration by reason of fads, fashions, politics, and political correctness. These are invalid ideas, and the biblical revelation is a profound and deep revelation and cannot be thrown out of into a garbage can for the sake of political correctness, fads, fashions, and politics. I hope these are all, whether it's Pastor Lucado's taking the position that heterosexual marriage is the Christian answer, or the example of this German woman who was banned by silently praying for unborn children. These are attacks on the church and attacks on Christian thinking. They won't succeed because the church has the truth in this respect. They will not succeed, and that is the way it is and will be, I can guarantee. Thanks for listening, and I hope you've enjoyed this program. Bye.